Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to. Here's John Williams.
It's 108. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Nice to see the temperatures going up, isn't it? We've got lots to do on the show today. Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy is, of course, following the DACA wall debate. It's more a thing for the Senate. The House said okay, but we'll visit with one of our local congressmen about that in just a couple of minutes. He'll be calling in. One other political note. I saw one of the nicest, I thought, political ads I've seen in a while. It was for this Daniel Biss guy. Do you know who Daniel Biss is? You may have seen the commercial. It's a family getting ready to get up, go out, and go to work and go to school in the morning. I think it's Biss, and I think that's his real family. I'm not sure. We'll ask him. But it's him just plain talking over that video, saying, here's what I want for Illinois. It is not so dramatic and dark. If you elect Bruce Rauner, J.B. Pritzker, Donald Trump will come into your living room and chase your cat. It's not like that. It's not like that at all. So I like the, I think Biss is at, and this is, I'm sorry, I'm a consumer. You are too. What do you really know about J.B. Pritzker? Well, you know that he was cavorting with Blagojevich on the phone a long time ago, and you know that if we don't elect him, then Donald Trump will come to your home. Those are the two campaigns that Rauner and Pritzker are running, the two campaign ads. And then this breath of fresh air is the Biss ad. So he's my guy. He's going to come into our studio a little after 2 o'clock, and we'll flesh that out a little bit more after 2 o'clock. And Cindy Garcia joins us in 30 minutes. Be here for that. She's the wife of Jorge Garcia. He's that man from Detroit who was deported. He came here as a 10-year-old. Against his own will. That is, they didn't ask him. His family brought him here when he was 10. Now at the age of 40, with a family and a wife and a job in the Detroit area, he's been forced to go back to Mexico. And we'll be there for at least a year, year and a half, they say. If he's lucky, in 18 months, he'll be allowed to come back to the United States. You may be glad he's gone. You may think that's a waste of time. The wife tells us their story. That's in about 30 minutes. Listen, we talked a little bit yesterday about this app that you've probably heard about. It's Arts and Culture, right, guys? Arts and Culture on the Google, Google's Arts and Culture app, which you can get for free wherever you get apps. You put it on your phone, and that app will show you what you look like, and you'll load a selfie, and the nearest representation of that at a major museum anywhere in the world. I think it's pretty cool. It's fun, and it's the hottest thing on the internet right now. But because Illinois has biometric laws that preclude its use here, it literally, that function will not appear on your phone. It's kind of creepy how the Google knows who you are and where you are and what you are, and that button doesn't appear. If you go to Indiana or Wisconsin, it does. So that you might be able to do that, though, we've asked you to send us pictures of yourself. And then Violetta said she will search the the massive data, the archive out there that Google has, and she will find a major, not a major painting, a painting hanging somewhere that looks like you. You have been posting pictures of yourself on my Facebook page. I'm King John. And V, I think, is doing a pretty good job. Props to Violetta.
Thanks. I think it's actually kind of creepy that I can find these lookalikes.
So how are you doing that? Are you literally just going click, 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 looking
through? Yeah, well, I have a system, a method, but, you know, just like Google, I don't reveal those.
No, it's proprietary.
Sources.
I wouldn't release that information.
No, I don't want people to be able to copy me.
I don't think there's any doubt or worry about that. I mean, there's an app that does it, but since we don't have it, you are the app. The app is called the Violetta or the Podrometic.
Yes, that's me.
And so post your pen. By the way, the picture of that one guy.
The kind of like intense looking guy.
Yes.
The black and white. It's
Holy
like that
cow.
Sculpture was made after him.
So then you found a sculpture that is him.
I know.
Holy cow.
Like to the eyes and to the nostrils and his nose and everything.
Elif, if we posted that one, is the one of the guy
that's
and the sculpture.
Egon.
Is that on our Facebook page yet? We posted some of them. But do we have the one of that guy with the scary look and the sculpture?
I'm looking at it right now on my computer, and no, it's not. I'm working on posting it.
Cool,
it will
cool,
be
cool.
up soon.
Yeah, I know. We got stuff to do here.
It's a little bit more difficult, though, when you don't know the people to find. Like, when I based it on you guys, I kind of know your personalities.
You knew
and
us,
I,
sure. Right. Yeah, so the picture of Steve Bertrand with the mop
top. Yeah, that insults me even more.
Sorry about
it
that,
It is
Steve.
A younger... It's a
younger version
it's a youth,
of you, Steve. It's
yeah.
a youthful, kind of fun Steve Bertrand.
A fop.
It's 113. Raja Krishnamoorthy is a Democratic congressman from the 8th Congressional District here in the Chicago area. He joins us from Washington, D.C. on WGN Radio. Raja, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, John. Hey, Steve. How are you?
We're all doing well, Raj. So the House passed. How did you vote on the spending bill with the DACA attachment?
You mean without the DACA attachment in the House?
I'm sorry, Raj, say that again?
Yes, the continuing resolution that came up yesterday, I voted against it. It hurts the military, education, and health care. Fails to reauthorize community health centers, which, as you know, they take care of about 10% of our population. And then it failed to include anything to protect the Dreamers. So I voted against that yesterday.
But if it weren't for the DACA controversy, it sounds like you would not have voted for it anyway.
Quite possibly, no. Yeah, I think that there are just too many elements that were problematic. Right now we have not had anything more than a continuing resolution for the military for 3 years. And the folks in the military are coming to us and saying we cannot operate anymore like this, not to mention in other non-defense sectors as well. So I voted against this fourth continuing resolution, and now I'm hoping in the remaining time before midnight we can come to an agreement and keep the government open.
Congressman, I was reading earlier that Kevin McCarthy is sending the Republicans home for the weekend. I'm wondering if that's your understanding, and if it is, what that might what that tells you.
Well, we don't know what their intentions are. We really hope that everybody stays to try to work out a deal before midnight. I know I'm not going anywhere. I want to make sure that we do everything before midnight to keep the government open. And I hope the Republicans do, too. Right now, the action's in the Senate, as you know. And I believe that the president is meeting with Minority Leader Chuck Schumer
right now, as we speak. Correct.
Yeah. And, I'm very hopeful that something can be worked out. I just hope the president realizes that the stakes are too high, and we just can't afford the antics.
Well, I'm going to talk to you about the antics in just a second here, but I do like this, Congressman, that the president, he does this famously, I think, where he doesn't care about protocol. So he'll meet with Chuck and Nancy on his own, or he will side with them because he just wants to, whatever his motivation is. But if he decides to not invite Paul Ryan, say, or leadership into this meeting that he's having with Chuck Schumer, just lets the two of us sit down and talk. I love that. I think we all want more of that on either party at either level. Let's not make sure that the hardliners are here as somebody's there to balance it so then nothing gets done. Let's just you and I sit down and talk about this and figure out, come on, what are you doing? What can I do for you? And I love the simplicity, and I love the candor that enables. Don't you?
I think that's a good idea, John. And I think I'm really hopeful they can hammer something out. I hope that Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, of course, go along. But I agree that at this hour, protocol and all that should go out the window. We just need a deal.
Are you worried, though, that the deal they strike there might change by the time the senator gets up the hill? Right? I mean,
you bring up a serious question. That happens. I mean, like just the other day, Paul Ryan introduced a continuing resolution with multiple elements. And one of those elements the president tweeted about, basically in a disparaging way after he had just said to the speaker and others that he supported it. And so, people, sometimes it's hard to figure out who you're negotiating with. And certainly if there's any kind of confusion or chaos, in the governing party, that that translates into chaos for all of us.
I don't envy you the task because it's a moving target. And Mitch McConnell said as much the other day. He said, we don't know what to do because we don't know what the man wants now. So,
well, you know, the other day, you know, it's been much documented and much talked about. But the substance is worth repeating, which is that Senator Durbin and Senator Lindsey Graham went into a meeting with a deal, which had been negotiated in the Senate among various Republican and Democratic senators. And previous to that, the president at a much televised meeting with about two dozen lawmakers said, you bring me the DACA deal and I'll sign it.
Yep.
So these folks went in with the deal, ready to go, and then we all know what happened. It blew up, and here we are. So I really, really hope that he, sticks to whatever agreement he enters into with Chuck Schumer, and I hope they do enter into an agreement.
And then I think whatever that is, if we want to get something done here, then I hope the Congress honors that. That is, the Senate and House will pass the version, and it may well be that it doesn't pass because Schumer struck a deal that senators don't like, Republican senators, but.
Well, it's more likely, John. I mean, just without getting too much into the inside baseball, what happens is most likely Chuck Schumer will probably be able to strike a deal which Mitch McConnell would probably stomach. But the real wild card in that case is in the House with the Freedom Caucus. They have a lot of power within the Republican conference. And so whether they would be apt to sign on is always an open question mark.
Rajan Krishnamurthy is on a phone line. He's the 8th Congressional District Representative here in the Chicago area. Raj, I got a pause for a minute, but I'd just like your reaction to this when we come back. And that is this, that
yes.
I think a lot of people say the Republicans control both houses in the executive branch. Therefore, a government shutdown is on them. But it's also obviously completely within the power of Democrats to avoid a shutdown. So I'm not entirely persuaded by the argument that this is their fault if it happens. And I want you to talk to me a little bit about that and persuade me that Democrats aren't just as much to blame if the government quits operating after midnight. Let's have that conversation next on GM.
John Williams, bad for Illinois then and bad for Illinois now.
Hey. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Who's this?
John Williams.
Okay, now listen to me. You don't know what's going on here, so you got to be careful. Don't be talking too much.
Yeah, but...
I mean, you're contradicting me here, you know.
Well, what do you think of me getting more airtime? You know...
It's a repugnant idea, but I need to leverage that Jesse Jr. with these national people. Follow what I'm saying?
Yes, right on.
Yeah, I want these national Democrats and Obama.
Totally.
I want them to...
All right, what about this? I could do the show in Chinese and then send some secret signals to people, and then you become governor. That could be a good idea, right?
You know, who knows? It could be. I'm not going to completely rule it out.
Right. Cool. I can call you Blago, right? Hello?
2024. We'll visit with Daniel Biss. He wants to be governor. You'll hear his commercial a little later on. That's after 2. Right now, we're visiting with Raja Krishnamurthy. He represents the 8th Congressional District. He's in Washington, D.C. And Raj, just before the break, I told you, look, it's, in my view, in the power of both sides to keep the government from shutting down. It's not just the Republican fault. Do you agree with that?
I agree. I don't think anybody looks good if the government shuts down. I think that there's time left, okay? You rightfully pointed out that it was a good gesture on the part of the president to invite Chuck Schumer to the White House and talk. I suspect they're doing that right now. And let's come to a deal. We know what the broad parameters are. Let's get it done. There's still time, and let's not go into a government shutdown.
Congressman, what's the timing like? I mean, I know that you can vote pretty quickly. The House certainly proved that this week, but. If Chuck Schumer leaves the White House with the deal, would it have to come out of the House first because it's spending, or could it come out of the Senate first?
No, it can come from the Senate.
Okay.
They can do a couple different things. They could modify the continuing resolution. They can come up with their original piece of legislation and then vote on it and then send it over to the House right away. It doesn't take that long. They can do it, and You know, we have, what, 9.5 hours left. So there's time.
We have 9 hours, 34 minutes, 20 seconds, 19 seconds, 18 seconds.
Shame on CNN again.
I know. Exactly. And shame, and by the way, this isn't for you, Raj. Maybe it is. But shame on CNN. They started the countdown clock about 36 hours in because they love this. They are too gleeful, and they are showing their cards.
It's not good for the country, man. I mean, the reason why people are so upset is when, you know, we can't get along, we can't come to an agreement on something as vital as, you know, getting the government operating. And so I'm very, very hopeful. Let's get it done by tonight.
Wall for DACA. This has been the talk show question. You don't want the wall. You don't think the money is well spent that way. You really want DACA. I know this is a broad brush, but would you make that trade, Congressman?
You know, if they wanted to call like extra fencing and you know, some sensor technology and other things a wall, and that's how they needed to brand it on their side, in return for protecting Dreamers, I think that's a serious deal to look at, and I think that was kind of the, in broad brush strokes, what Senator Graham and Senator Durbin had come to. You know, I think at this point, semantics aside, extra border security probably makes sense. We got to control our borders and mm-hmm. make sure that we know who's coming in and so forth. But you know, we also have to live up to our values as Americans, and we got to protect these Dreamers.
What do you think of the $18 billion price tag?
Ooh. Well, it's certainly not Mexico paying for it. At that point, you know, you're talking about American taxpayers paying for something like this, and it's not even effective. As you know, John, and your listeners know, you know, most of the people who are undocumented in this country overstayed on a visa, whether it was a tourist visa, whether it was a business visa, or what have you. And so they're just going to, you know, a wall is not going to correct the situation. You know, we got to get control of our borders and do it in a smart way. If it requires extra fencing and repairing fencing and so forth in certain parts, that's fine. If we need to put drones up and sensor technology, that's fine. But, you know, whatever they want to call it, extra border security is fine. But we got to make sure that the Dreamers have a pathway as well. That's really important.
Congressman, as I let you go.
I just want to say one.
Oh, go ahead. Say one last thing.
One
sure.
Thing. Just one last thing. I had a room full of Dreamers in my office the other day. These are some of the most impressive people you'll ever meet. They're either working, they're in college, they're bleeding for our country in uniform, trying to protect our freedoms. And to say that they are not American or that they shouldn't have legal status here is wrong. And, you know, we got to live up to our best selves as Americans.
If I can give the two of you an update, Chuck Schumer has left the White House now, and a source from inside the meeting telling ABC News that there was good progress made. That source, I don't know what side the source is on it, and that could matter, but asked if there would be a shutdown. The person told ABC he didn't or she didn't think so, but also that there was more work to be done.
Okay, well, the countdown is ticking. You know, if there's a shutdown, maybe it'll be short-lived. One last thing before you go, Congressman. You said about these Dreamers, we need to live up to our values. These are Americans. They're not American citizens, though. I think some people yell at the radio when we do that. My heart is where your head is, sir, but they are not American citizens, right?
Correct. Yeah. That's exactly right. That is correct, sir. They are not. They are here. The vast majority of them have this protected status. It will be the case until their status lapses. And then after March 5th, they'll start lapsing at the rate of, I think, 1,000 a day.
Yeah.
And they'll be subject to deportation.
Nice to talk to you, Raj. Thanks for joining us today.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you again, John and Steve.
Rajar Krishnamoorthy is the 8th Congressional district representative. And to chuckle out of the pictures you're sending us, take a picture of yourself, send it to us, and the new app called Violetta Podrometic will find an exact match of you at a major art museum in the world. We'll post the picture side by side. You'll love it or not, depending on how you think you look and what those pictures look like.
I'm being pretty reasonable.
I think you're doing a really good job. I think the Steve Bertrand likeness is stunning. I think the lady, the attractive woman with the dark hair, and is it a blue top? I'd like you to maybe just continue to look for a match for her, Violetta. Do you know who I'm talking
about? Yeah, but you know what? It's certain features that this matches up, not just the Violetta Podrometic app, but the actual Google art and culture.
Yeah.
It's never 100, so you get a certain percentage of matching.
Okay.
And this, the eyes match up in hers.
True, right. You look at this lady's face and you go, "There, I see the face there, but I'd like you to find her... the rest of it to look the same." And I'm not saying this is easy. I'm not saying it's easy.
Well, also, art in the past doesn't reflect the way people actually look. So it's hard to find pictures, actually, that paintings that match up to these pictures.
Does the Violetta app make excuses for itself?
No, but you know what? It's a free app, so you get what you get.
Two and Shay. It is 1:40. This is WGN Radio. There's this guy named Jorge Garcia. You have almost certainly seen the video of him tearfully saying goodbye to his family at the Detroit Metropolitan Airport last week. He came here as a 10-year-old. He was brought here by an illegal alien, a relative. He was 10 years old for the last 30 years. He's 39 now. So for the last almost 30 years, he's lived in this country and he's been working as a landscaper. He's been married for the last 15 years. He has kids. He has constantly been working on trying to legalize his status. They made some mistakes along the way, almost, not errors of design, but just they actually made some mistakes. And so his status did not proceed maybe the way it should have. We'll clear that up in a minute. The point is that there he was at the airport. He has flown to Mexico. Even Bill Kristol of the right-leaning Weekly Standard said this should not be, especially since our problem is in the millions. And I'm not sure what sending Jorge back to Mexico, I'm not sure what good that does any of us. Maybe it helps another landscaper who's competing with him in Detroit. But by and large, I think this is a net loss for the U.S. His wife is Cindy, and she joins us now on WGN Radio. Hi, Cindy. How are you today?
Hi. Fine, and you?
I'm really well, thank you. Is your husband's name is Jorge, right? Am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
And is he in Mexico right now?
Yes, he is. He's in Mexico City.
How often do you talk to him?
It's a hit and miss due to the Wi-Fi at the house that he's at, so we just have to pretty much wait for him to call us.
Where is he living?
In Mexico City with his aunt. He does not know because he left at 10 years old.
Nice of her to take him in. Here's a 40-year-old you don't know, and now he's going to live with you.
Yes.
Does he have a job down there?
No, because we've been doing too many interviews, and he's still on an emotional roller coaster for him. So it's too hard because we're trying to get our story out because it's very important.
I understand that. Sure, I understand that. But
that we're dealing with.
How long do you expect that he'll be in Mexico? What's the best case scenario? That is, he gets his status changed.
It takes 18 months just to get a date with the consulate.
18 months to get a date with U.S. consulate to then try and get your status changed. 18 months. So in that time, though, I presume he's going to try and find work down there. What are the options for him? Do you know?
Yes, we had two people approach us already, letting us know that they will be more than happy to give him a job in Mexico City.
Any idea what that'll pay?
No, that I don't know. And I'm just believing it will just pay for his house. I mean, his rent to his aunt for food and stuff like that.
Do you work?
No, I'm medically retired from Ford Motor Company.
You're medically retired. You suffered an injury of some sort?
Yes.
How many kids do y'all have?
We have two together.
Yeah. Are you a U.S. citizen?
Yes, I was born here in the United States in Michigan.
So you and your children are U.S. citizens, and he's your husband, but by extension, he doesn't have status that lets him stay, huh?
No, we tried to do the right thing and start the paperwork in 2005. It was just the incompetency of the lawyer at that time. It took 4 years before we even got anything from immigration. And when we did, we had to go into a judge, an immigration judge. And when he was asking us questions with the paperwork that she had given him was misinformation. And I had my copy and I showed it to him. And he said, well, this is two different papers. I said, yes, that's what I'm trying to tell you. She screwed up, not me. He said, well, let me look further into this investigation and I'll get back to you in writing. He did, and he wrote us a letter saying in 90 days my husband had to leave the country. With that being said, I got with the UAW, with LACLA, with Michigan United, and a voluntary community action program through the UAW, and we fought to get a stay of deportation for 1 year. Then we had to do it again in 2010. And from 2011 on, we were under our low radar because he's been trying to do everything right. He's not a criminal. So under the Obama administration, he was safe because we're waiting for the laws to change in order for him to be eligible to continue to change his status. But when we went on November 20th, that did not happen. The officer there told us he was going to detain him. Our faces turned white. He said, well, let me investigate a little further. Came back and said it the day after Thanksgiving. He has to leave, bring me airplane tickets stating that. We did. A couple days before Thanksgiving, we had an agent call us and tell us, okay, we look further into his case because he's always done the right thing and you guys have tried to fix his status. We're going to let him stay for the holidays. And then on January 15th, he has to leave back to his country of origin, which is Mexico. And that's when the nightmare began.
How did they even find out about you guys? You know, I mean, I guess it's this lifelong paper trail and you had been in and out of communication with them. Did somebody literally knock on your door? Did somebody come and apprehend him at any point?
No, we had yearly visits with immigration from 2011 until now. But they knew we were trying to find a way to fix his status by the laws changing. And he fell short for DACA by 1 year, so he could not apply for that.
That was my
question. We were waiting for another law to change, and it never did, so we never got the opportunity to do it. So with that being said, he had to leave on January 15th.
Yeah, I was wondering, so he does not he's not a dreamer. He doesn't qualify as a dreamer, Cindy?
No, he does not.
Yeah. So did you all contemplate running? You know, packing up the kids and just trying to escape the authorities and staying in the country?
No, because we wanted to do the right thing. We knew that we did not want to go against authorities because that wasn't our plan at all. Our plan is to continue to go the right path and do everything right so we can bring him back. We did not want to break any laws at all.
Yeah, I suppose if that, right, because eventually you'd get caught and then your chances of maybe uniting as a family back in Detroit would be even less. Is your family considering moving to Mexico? Why didn't you all go with your husband?
The reason we didn't go to Mexico with my husband was because, like I said, I'm medically retired. I have an illness. All three of us have asthma. We have insurance here, and I'm very grateful to the UAW that I have that, but we knew that if we went to Mexico to live, we don't know if they had the right doctors and they would know our conditions that we have and if they would be able to treat us down there. And then we would have to have a certain amount of money down there. And I don't have to worry about that here because I have insurance. So I couldn't go to a country that I don't know, the children don't know, and just be worried, are they going to be able to take care of us?
Well, you are the face of the deportation of people who are here illegally. I mean, you know, I think we speak about it in the abstract, but it's unusual that we actually have the video of a family at the airport saying goodbye. Now multiply that by 17 million or whatever the number is. That's what we're trying to avoid. That's what we don't want to have happen. If the Congress comes up with some legislation here today or even sometime thereafter, you know, a government shutdown notwithstanding, when they resolve this DACA issue, do you think that will help you all or it doesn't apply to you?
No, that does not apply to us because he is in Mexico already. So I'm doing the voice for the other people who cannot come out of the shadows. I am their voice. I am like the Dr. Martin Luther King, but the Hispanic version, because they can't do it. And I understand that it doesn't affect my family, but I still feel that I have to stand up and fight the fight to show people that, yes, I am an American citizen, and I do have a voice here in my country.
Well, I'm just amazed. I thought if you've married the guy, then he gets to stay because his, and this isn't a, you know, one of those fake marriages. He's your husband. He works here. Well, although, so I'm just disappointed that it's not easier than that, number one. But number two, then, since he's been working here, does he have a Social Security number?
Yes, he has a Social Security number because he was issued one long time ago. And he's been paying taxes ever since he started working. So,
he pays,
you know,
into Social Security,
to,
yeah.
Yes, yes. So we're just trying to get him to become a lawful permanent resident, you know, for many years, but it's just a long path to citizenship. And with the lawyer who did us wrong, that's even harder because we've just had setback after setback after setback.
Yeah, yeah. But if so my listeners are continuing to call in and question, wait a minute, how come he can't stay if he's married to you and you're an American citizen? Is this the truth, Cindy, that if you guys, if this lawyer hadn't botched the paperwork, by virtue of being married to you, he would be allowed to stay? Is that true, or even then he wouldn't be able to stay?
The problem was when he entered the country, he entered without documentation, so he had to go back to his country to fix his status. That was the crime that he had committed.
So your being married to him either way doesn't save him from that, huh?
No. No, because he entered at 10 years old illegally, so that was the crime that everybody keeps saying that he committed. So he had to go, in order to fix his status, he would have to go back, you know, to his original country so we can be able to make him a lawful permanent resident here in the U.S.
What do your kids think about this?
My kids are devastated. My kids can't sleep. They haven't gone to school yet. And we're going to try on Monday, but we don't know how successful that's going to be because it's rough. Because it's an emotional roller coaster. One day you have your dad and one day you don't.
I saw them at the airport and the anger in the young, what looked like teenage boy's face, the bewilderment, but he also looked angry, like, I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe this is happening. And I'm really angry that it's happening to my dad. Do you know what I mean? That was the look I saw on TV.
He was in a state of shock. He wasn't able to produce any type of emotion because he couldn't believe what was going on to his dad, and he didn't want his dad to leave, and he was real attached to him. So it was very hard for him. So he just was in a state of shock, and he didn't know what to do.
How old is that young man? How old is he, that boy? How old is he?
He's 12 years old.
No. Are you going to be at the State of the Union address?
Yes, I am. I'm very grateful that I got invited by Debbie Dingell.
She's your local Democrat congresswoman in Michigan there, and so she gets one invitation, and so you'll be on TV January 30th, and I suspect that you'll still be part of that conversation. All right, Cindy. Well,
yes.
Good luck to you. Good luck to Jorge. Good luck to your family. I appreciate your time this afternoon.
Okay, thank you so much.
That's Cindy Garcia. Her husband, Jorge, was deported last week from Detroit. He's in Mexico.
Yes. My question, when do we start deporting the MS-13s that are in Maryland, and when do we get rid of the gangbangers in Chicago? When do we start getting rid of them instead of other people that are living here?
So is your point that if we were going to do this, this is a bad place to start?
Well, my place is, why don't we get rid of the criminals? I thought someone said that at one of their, publicity things before they were elected, that they wanted to get rid of the criminals, and now we're deporting other people from this country. Why don't we get rid of the hardened criminals and murderers?
The most cooperative deportation you're ever going to see. Here's a guy with a family. He's working. He's paying taxes. He's paying into FICA. And when they come to get him, they say, okay, we'll buy a plane ticket and voluntarily cooperate with ICE. It ain't going to be like that all of the time. You're absolutely right. If we were going to start somewhere, Why do you start there? Violetta Podromedics checking out traffic. She's also on Facebook looking at the pictures you're sending to us and matching your selfie or the picture you send her with a picture of you hanging in a museum somewhere. How's that going, Violetta? Pretty well over there?
Yeah, it's going well. It's hard. It's harder than you think.
You sound exhausted. I did not realize this would involve heavy lifting.
Well, I'm a perfectionist. I want to find the right picture.
Right. Really, I want quality, not quantity. Because if they start to not look like the people, then it's no fun anymore. You got to get them to look like the people. Right?
Yeah, but it's just some of these people don't look like
the pictures you're finding.
Right.
Well, that's then just, Violetta, keep working at it. Keep working at it. There's millions of photographs and pictures hanging on millions of museum walls all around the world. And that's just Earth. Do the best you can. Let us know if you get another one to post.
Are you doing any modern art matchups? I mean, are there any abstracts here?
Well, that's the thing. There are.
Like a Picasso.
John Williams. Bad for Illinois then, and bad for Illinois now.
Hey.
Hey.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Who's this?
John Williams.
Okay, now listen to me. You don't know what's going on here, so you got to be careful. Don't be talking too much.
Yeah, but...
I mean, you're contradicting me here, you know.
Well, what do you think of me getting more airtime? You know...
It's a repugnant idea, but I need to leverage that Jesse Jr. with these national people. Follow what I'm saying?
Yes, right on.
Yeah, I want these national Democrats and Obama.
Totally.
I want them to...
All right, what about this? I could do the show in Chinese and then send some secret signals to people, and then you become governor. That could be a good idea, right?
You know, who knows? It could be. I'm not going to completely rule it out.
Right. Cool. I can call you Blago, right? Hello?
Paid for by somebody. I'm not sure who paid for that. It's 208 on WGN. Speaking of political ads, there's an ad I really like. I'll play a segment from that for you in a minute. But it's for this Daniel Biss guy, who was a state representative, or is a state senator, and is was a member of Congress. He's a mathematics professor. Have you seen the ad? It's what looks like his family, and they're in a, you know, nice but not too nice house that you and I might want to live in or live in, and the kids are going off to school, and over it, he's just talking about what he wants for Illinois. And I'm sorry, but in this era, I found the ad positively refreshing, and I thought, okay, who is Daniel Biss? He's sitting next to me now here in the Showcase studio. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you, John?
Good. Who is Daniel Biss?
Daniel Biss is a middle-class person who thinks it's time for Illinois to have a middle-class governor. I am someone who looks at a system that just is not working for most of us, where typical families are finding it harder to figure out how to afford child care and health care, and yet Illinois is a great place to be a billionaire. And the question is, how do we create a system that works for the rest of us? That's why I'm running for governor.
You were a member of the 17th Congressional District?
17th State House District, and now I'm in the 9th Senate District.
Pardon me, I put you in the U.S. Congress. You were in the State House and State Senate.
That's right.
Yeah. Why are you in politics? I mean, your background's mathematics, right?
That's right. In fact, my first job was teaching math at the University of Chicago. I was there for 6 years. And listen, you know, no one's ever gone into teaching math planning to use it as a springboard into politics. But I saw a system that was not working. I saw a country rushing off to war based on lies. And I wasn't going to just be the guy who was upset about it and then went back to the math department and hoped somebody else was going to fix it. I started organizing, knocking on doors. And I fell in love with this idea that if you organize people into real movements, that's the way to actually create justice.
Those are different parts of the brain, aren't they? The one that is mathematics, and the other one that is this very social creature who wants to be a politician and change the world.
It is an unusual transition. I'll tell you this, though. The time spent as a teacher, the time spent in a classroom, interacting with different groups of people, reading a room and trying to make sure you're bringing everyone along, listening carefully and also communicating, that has a lot to do with politics. And I think we'd be in better shape if we had more educators in politics.
Does that make you a pragmatist?
Listen, I've tried to actually get something done, and there's not a lot of that in Springfield right now. I've worked hard to actually enact legislation, passing almost 90 bills into law, some of them things that people thought were never going to happen, but where I was able to see a coalition that could achieve a progressive goal.
I know that Mike Madigan has too much power, and he and Rahner have never gotten off to a good start. There's this perpetual gridlock in Springfield. So how do you address that?
Well, you're right that Mike Madigan has too much power, and frankly, he's been there too long, and I've been fighting back against that throughout my time in the legislature, introducing term limits on how long someone can be Speaker of the House back when I first got there in 2011. And yet, even though I have my feet firmly planted in the opposite wing of the party than Mike Madigan, I've gotten a lot done. And I've gotten a lot done not by being his person or kowtowing to him, but instead by building my own base of political support that could move the legislature along. Because ultimately, they have to respond to what the people want if the people are loud enough. The problem in this race is you've got two options that, in my opinion, are very dangerous. You've got the Bruce Rauner option, which is just, I'm going to go to Springfield and fight, 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 and nothing's going to get done, and Madigan and I will yell at each other, and the rest of the state will keep on getting hurt. And then you got the J.B. Pritzker option, which is, hey, I'm Mike Madigan's guy. And I think that's not what we need in a governor either. In fact, Mike Madigan's never handpicked a governor. I don't think we should let him start now.
That's funny, because listening to you talk, except for what you just said now, I don't think it would be apparent to the listener if you're a Republican or a Democrat.
Well, I'm a progressive. I believe strongly in progressive values, and I'm a loyal Democrat as well. But I think if we pretend the Democratic Party's perfect, we wind up in a lot of trouble.
I know, but can you get elected with saying those things about Mike Madigan that you just said?
I think the public is with me. And the question is, do we have enough of a public outcry that can outweigh the power of the political machine? You know, we're sitting here in the studio and looking out on Michigan Avenue, and I bet there's a lot of Democrats walking up and down Michigan Avenue right now who are not crazy about the way that the Democratic Party operated in Springfield before Bruce Rauner became governor, who look at the system we had back in 2014 and say, you know what, our taxes weren't fair then either. Our schools were not properly funded then either. We couldn't have universal access to health care then either. And I think people who are right now just living life, loyal Democrats, but also want to see the right kind of Democratic Party, are flocking to my campaign.
Are unfunded pensions the biggest problem for Illinois?
The biggest problem for Illinois is a state budget and state government that is not on the side of ordinary people. And so that starts with the historical mistakes, the irresponsibility we've had over the years of failing to properly and responsibly fund the pensions we promised. But it goes well beyond that. We have a really unfair tax system. I mean, it's unlike other states.
How so? Well, what's unfair about it?
Well, for example, we ask the people in the middle and the bottom to pay more and the people at the top to pay less. We have higher property taxes.
You're talking about income taxes? You mean graduated income taxes?
All in. I'm talking about all in. So
what would you do to fix that?
Just what you said. You start with a graduated income tax. So in Illinois, if you wanted to ask Bruce Rauner, who in 2015 made $188 million, to pay a higher tax rate than someone who's a teacher or a nurse, that's unconstitutional. Only four states have that, and that has made it impossible for
Illinois
us to have
fair taxes. But a flat tax rate, a flat state income tax rate, is what we have.
That's right. And we've got to fix that. I believe we
disproportionately
must fix that.
Affects people on the lower end. A zillionaire can more easily afford that than person making $30,000.
It does two things is the problem. First of all, it disproportionately affects people at the bottom and the middle, but it also means that state government can't raise the revenue it needs, and therefore our schools aren't funded. Because our schools aren't funded, they wind up jacking up property taxes more and more. The reason we have such high property taxes is because the state is not doing its job in funding schools, and that really hits working people, the middle class, and the poor especially hard.
I see the disparity, but don't Illinoisans of all stripes pay too much in taxes? I mean, literally, you're saying that the well-off need to pay more?
Absolutely. Illinois is a great place to be a billionaire. It really is. If you look at what someone, like in 2015, for example, someone who was in the top 1% in Illinois, their total state and local tax burden all in was under 5%. If you were at the bottom, you paid 13. If you're in the top, you pay 5. If that person in the top 1% moved to Wisconsin, they'd be paying more. If they moved to Iowa, they'd be paying more. And because we don't have the guts to ask the very wealthy here in Illinois to pay their share, we're left sucking the middle class and the poor dry. It's not fair.
What would you do with property taxes?
Well, two things. Number one, they're way too high. They're way too high because of how we fund our schools. And number two, they're just not fair. We've learned, in case it wasn't clear before, we've learned in the last year how broken our property tax system is, how unfair it is. It's biased against the middle class and the poor. And so I've introduced legislation, the strongest legislation on this topic. It's called the HOME Act, to completely overhaul our property tax system with transparency, with modern, fair, accurate assessment systems and ethics reforms around political contributions from property tax appeal attorneys to the folks who are actually making the assessments. If we pass that bill, we could fundamentally change property taxes here in Illinois.
State Senator Daniel Biss is in our studio. He's running for governor as a Democrat. Do you have an opinion about the Joe Berrios story and the assessment of properties in Cook County?
Yes, it's terrible. It's unacceptable. That's part of what led me to introduce that legislation. And what's really awful about it is it's fixable. This is a choice to keep the old system that was known to be biased against the middle class and the poor.
He's a key player in the Democratic Party in Cook County, this Berrios.
I've read about that. And yet I think most people
said bad things about Madigan. You said bad things about Berrios. You're not a billionaire. I'm trying to help you here.
You know, listen, I understand that there's one path to the Democratic nomination, which is just make friends with everybody who's been a part of the problem for 30 years and hope that the public doesn't mind. I think it's important to tell the truth. And this is real important, John, I think it's important to tell the truth in a way that allows you to still work with people and move the ball forward. That's what I've done in Springfield.
What did you make of Chris Kennedy's assertion that Rahm Emanuel is targeting people of color to move them out of parts of the city? He's pro-gentrification, and it's color-specific.
I think Chris Kennedy's chasing headlines because he's worried about how his campaign is doing. Listen, the problems he's talking about are real and tragic. Yes, black and brown people have been pushed out of the city of Chicago because of gentrification and schools and violence.
Do you think it's targeted to them? Is that the specific agenda of the Emanuel administration?
I don't. And I think focusing on one person is complete distraction. I think it went on long before Rahm Emanuel was mayor. I think it happened under Daley. And I think it's about whose side we're on. The question is the government actually trying to build diverse communities and make the city livable for everyone? Or is it kind of focused because of who pays for the campaigns and who has the biggest megaphone on what people who are already doing well want? And what I wish Chris Kennedy would do is talk about how we can fix these problems instead of creating yet another personal fight between politicians that gets people in the headlines but doesn't solve anything.
You may have a question for Mr. Biss. The number's 312-981-7200. You can call or text right now, 312-981-7200. Daniel Biss is in our studio, first as a mathematics professor and now a legislator. Daniel Biss has always tackled the hardest problems. Who wrote this?
I don't know. It sounds compelling, though, huh?
While teaching, Daniel's desire to confront our state's most critical problems compelled him to get more involved in his local community, first as an organizer, then as a candidate. Watch to learn more about his story, and then you watch the video. But the commercial for this guy, hey, Elif, can you play some of the audio from his commercial? So if you're clicking around TV, you might see or hear something that goes like this.
They'll spend any amount to win, but we're the ones that lose. I'm Daniel Biss, and I think if more politicians had kids in public schools or struggled to balance their own budgets, we'd have an Illinois that worked for the middle class. That's why I left teaching, to be an organizer, then state senator.
Yeah, I just said that part. But as you're watching the commercial, you see these two cute little kids and a wife and people putting their hats and coats on and grabbing a cup of coffee and leaving a house the way you and I leave our house in the morning. And I'm looking at that going, oh, wouldn't it be nice if that was his family, if this was really his world, because that looks more like ours. Is that really your family?
Yes, first of all. And it's such a sad sign of the cynicism in our politics today that you had to ask, but a lot of folks have to ask.
Is that really your house?
It is really my house. It is really my family. It's really where we live. It's really how we live. I do send my kids to public school. I do pay more than 10% of my income in property tax. I do sit with my wife and try to figure out, you know, these two kids are 7 and 9 right now, but one day they're going to be in college, and how in God's name are we going to afford that?
You live in Evanston.
We live in Evanston.
What are you paying property taxes up there?
Just north of $8,000.
Yeah. On a house that costs, what's the value of your house?
Well, it's an interesting question, but it seems like it's probably south of $300,000.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, who knows?
Right.
Wait a minute, are you in Cook County? Is Evanston in Cook County?
Yes, yeah. Sure is.
Well, then there's no way to know. It's impossible. It depends on who you know. In fact, do you think that, I believe Chris Kennedy told us this the other day, that you should not be allowed to be in the state legislature, the Senate or the House, but also be a property tax attorney representing various clients.
Listen, I think there are conflicts of interest across the state legislature that are really awful.
Or city alderman, which is more to the point.
Yeah, and I think these conflicts of interest are really, really problematic. And I don't conduct myself that way, ever. So let me give you an example. We genuinely have a hard time with our property tax bill. It's well over 10% of our income, but I never appealed them. And the reason was, I know there's a sleazebag politician discount out there. I know that when they see an elected official appeal their property taxes, they get a special deal. And I just don't want to be a part of
Even if you deserve the discount, you wouldn't take it because of how it would appear.
I didn't appeal because I didn't want a to wonder if I was getting a discount that I deserved or not.
Say hello to my newsman. That's Steve Bertrand.
I was just wondering if you would appeal mine then, if you're not going to appeal yours.
I know. You know, that's sort of like Michael Jordan, who said, people think I get a discount because I'm Michael Jordan. I think I pay more because I'm Michael Jordan, and they just assume. I mean, it's funny how celebrity status, say in your case being a senator, can work against you too. It's self-imposed in your case, but I see your point. I want to take some phone calls. And I'm looking at Violetta and Elif. Elif, I can't read the names on the screen, right? So just whisper in my ear what number and what caller name to take. Tom, you're on WGN. Hi, Tom, you're on the air. What do you want to say?
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. Real quick question, and I think it's a dirty little secret, and Mr. Biss, being a number cruncher, maybe he knows something about this. A lot of these state municipal workers work in their niche, and they top out. Then they go and get another pension elsewhere. They've got it all lined up, and I personally know a lot of people that are doing that. And me personally, I'm thinking, hey, I have one pension. I'm lucky to have it. But maybe the state can save themselves a lot of money if they could just say, hey, you know what? Enough of this double, triple pensions. Choose one.
Yeah, please. Okay. Let's let him respond to that.
Yeah, thanks for that question, Tom. And there's no question that some people have really abused these systems. And you have people, particularly at higher incomes, like you'll see school superintendents will find themselves with multiple pensions, or maybe like a chief of police or something will go from town to town and pick up different pensions. And some of that has already been worked on, and there's more work to be done. But what I also want to add before we move on to the next call is, because of some of the most lurid, ugly examples of ways in which people have abused the system, the entire system gets a bad name that it probably doesn't deserve. And so when you've got a superintendent who gets multiple six-figure pensions by gaming a system, let's not use our anger at that person when we think about what a teacher with a $42,000 a year pension after having taught our children for an entire career is.
Yeah, but we should change the system that doesn't allow that.
Of course, we should change the system so there's not abuses that are allowed, and the abuses are inappropriate.
What do you make of the Rauner campaign, which is inserting the J.B. Pritzker audio with Blagojevich? That commercial's everywhere.
You bet. You know, I think it's a sign of why it's really dangerous for Democrats to nominate someone like J.B. Pritzker. We've got to beat Bruce Rauner. Bruce Rauner has harmed the state. We can't afford four more years of Bruce Rauner, and there's nothing he would want more than to have the chance to run ads like that in September and October leading up to the November election.
I think that association is unfair to J.B. I think that makes Blago... We've decided Blago's bad. He's in jail. For all you know, you could have been tapped on a phone call with Rod Blagojevich, and somebody could be running it against you.
Well, I'll tell you, I never talked on the phone to Rod Blagojevich, so that's
you see my point, though? I mean, he was the governor. He took a lot of calls.
He definitely took a lot of calls. I will just say, I think it's not what Democrats want to be talking about in October. We have to beat Bruce Rauner. I mean, the state's in trouble. We were talking about this during the break. The state's in real trouble. And four more years of this is not acceptable. And I just don't think, as a Democrat, what I want my party to have to be talking about around Halloween leading up to a crucial 2018 election is Rod Blagojevich and the FBI tapes.
John, former DuPage Republican here. After 10 minutes of talk, I'm ready to vote for Dan. John, would you ask what Biss is going to do to protect unions and the pensions of those people in the unions in the future?
Yeah, it's an important question, and I was trying to allude to that when we were talking with Tom as well, because Tom's question about the abuse is fair, but it leaves hundreds of thousands of workers who are just in the classroom or working as firefighters and nurses and doing the right thing, and their pensions are underfunded. So we need to make sure we make the actuarially responsible payment every single year, and we need to change our tax system so that it works so that we can afford it.
How many digits can you quote pi to?
The answer is a little embarrassing, so let's just say 3.14 and call it a day for now.
That's all? 3.14?
I could go on if you made me.
2.6?
3.1415926.
He's a math professor. Maybe we need one of those. Daniel Biss, thanks for coming into our studio. Good luck to you on the campaign. I'll talk to your competitors, but we appreciate your time today.
Hey, it's great to see you. Thank you.
2:37. Little ribbons dancing in the rain. Flowers on the skyline, hey, how is it wine? What comes round's going round again.
I know what you're thinking, John, love the show, but where can I hear Destroyer?
Is coming up forever.
Destroyer is in my neighborhood. They're at the Metro tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. Cost you $21, $22, or $23 if you're over the age of 18. Destroyer's in town. Buddy Guy performs at Buddy Guy's Legends tonight, 9 o'clock, $65. Blues legend Buddy Guy will be joined by Big Otis. They've got free days at Shedd Aquarium, and today is one of those. You know, Thursday and Friday during operating hours, that's 9 to 5. You got to be an Illinois resident. If you want to reserve a ticket online, that costs you $3 at sheddaquarium.org. And Harry Potter Trivia Night is at the Lion Head Pub. That's in Lincoln Park. Lincoln Park, 8 o'clock tonight. You can RSVP for Harry Potter Trivia Night. That's tonight. There's no entry fee. There's no cover charge. Eventbrite.com. You know, I think of the name Destroyer. I think heavy metal, guitars clashing, that sort of thing. Is this what Destroyer always sounds like?
I'm hearing them for the first time, but it seems like maybe he's trying to be ironic.
Well, if this is what he sounds like, it's what he sounds like. I think this sounds good. Let me
tell you. I agree.
On Saturday mornings, I'm on the air from 10 a.m. to noon, and we do a segment with producer Griffin, who will always introduce us to a song that we should be paying attention to, and then we all rate it on a scale of 1 to 100. So sometimes it's something like that, sometimes it's hip-hop, sometimes it's pop, whatever, and then we all rate it. This sort of felt a little bit like that. I like that song. I want to hear more Destroyer.
Yeah, I would have rated it. That was one of the faster moving songs of his or theirs, because I listened to a few of them before I picked that. But I would probably give them 70. From
1 to 100? What we just heard? I give that an 82. Bertrand, what do you rate that Destroyer song?
Oh, that's an 87.
87. Violetta, yeah. Vote. Go.
65.
By the way, Violetta, how are we doing on the Violetta Podrometic app, which if you send us a picture on my Facebook page, will match you to a work of art? There's an app that does that. It doesn't work in Illinois. It's kind of weird, but it literally doesn't work in Illinois or Texas. Our laws are different. We're doing it for you anyway. So Violetta's taking pictures from our listeners and matching them with works of art in museums, and we're posting them on my Facebook page. It's really fun. You want yours? Go to the John Williams Facebook page. I'm King John on Facebook. You still doing that over there, V?
Yeah, I'm still working on it. Just so the listeners know, don't be offended. It's probably either an older version of your picture, maybe a younger version of your picture, and typically more plush of your picture, because that's what these, like, that's what the paintings look like.
I think you've got this all wrong, Violetta. I think if you're going to play the game, this is what happens. We find a picture. End of conversation. We don't have to explain it. We don't have to justify it.
The app shouldn't worry about the reaction.
Exactly. Imagine if every app worried about our reaction to it. If you're going to be an app, you just got to post and go.
Does this app make me look fat?
The painting adds 10 pounds is all I'm saying.
Or in Steve Bertrand's case, does it make me look like a gay emu? Because you got this... and not that there's anything wrong with that, Steve. It's just a look, and we do the best we can with the app. I think she captured Elif's face really well.
I mean, I think that picture was of Elif, that painting.
Well, Elif's a very attractive young lady, and I think the features are there. Even if, you know, it's not exact, but I think if you look at that, you go, oh, that's what Elif looks like. Marcia, have you sent a picture to my Facebook page?
I have not, but I am curious to find out what the outcome may be.
Yeah. She's got her arms crossed in front of her like, and if I don't like it, I know where Violetta sits.
She can catch the app.
Well, you know, I'm from Indiana, so I'm going to try it when I get home.
Literally, you should. Wait, but do you live in Indiana?
I do.
You live in Indiana?
Yeah.
I'll ask that one more time. I know members of our staff and an audience do. I get that. We said if you live in Indiana, do this for us, but we didn't get a lot of help on that. But the thing is, does it know exactly where the state line is, the Google app, that it would suddenly, bing, come on?
John, you can be driving down a highway and it'll tell you where the speed limit's changing on your phone.
It is amazing.
How would it not know where the state line is?
Do you ever look at your phone while you're driving and go, isn't it amazing that as there's a slight left bend in this road, literally the little line on my phone is bending at the exact same time? I mean, I'm just amazed at how accurate those things are.
It is pretty amazing.
So, yeah, I guess it'll know. You ought to be able to do it. Bertrand says you're going to be able to do it when you cross the state line.
I'll post it so you can
see. Well, pull over first and then go do it.
Yes.
And stop looking at your phone while you're driving, John.
Amen to that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I got the thing built in now to my dashboard. I have the navigator function on the screen in my car. I'm not sure that's a lot safer.
Are you telling me you're watching the map on your screen instead of the road in front of you?
That is exactly what I'm telling you.
Oh, I see a curve coming up. Okay.
I know. Well, I do that. Or sometimes I'm going, oh, no. How much sooner are we going to get there? How far are we? So I'm changing the view or the function on the screen. They shouldn't allow me to do that. And I'm not sure that it's a lot safer. Why are you laughing at me, Steve?
Well, there is a sort of duplicity or hypocrisy in the finger touch controls on their dashboard, but you can't do it on your phone.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, how is that different? I think it's in some ways even easier to... I've got a little toggle switch on my right hand as I'm driving. I have a little knob I can push or spin, and it changes the function and the views and all these things. So I'm looking at my screen as I'm toggling away, driving down Belmont yesterday. Well, I don't think that's a good idea.
Well, you don't have to do it.
Right. I thought that was the duplicity or hypocrisy you were going to point to as me blaming the machine, because there's a little bit of that. We went to see my folks in Joliet last night, and we left. I live over by Wrigley Field, just if you're thinking about the geography of this. We came down Lakeshore Drive to the Stevenson and then went down 55 to Joliet. That took 2 hours yesterday, and maybe even a little more than 2 hours. That is, you know, so if you are one of those people that's listening to us in a car now, or if you're listening to Roe or Steve Cochran during rush hour drive time, I am sorry. That is no way to live. I don't normally drive in rush hour, but I got into it at 5:30 yesterday. And that S-U-C-K-S, that is not good. What is good is the bright side. Marshall Lyle from our sales staff comes down on Fridays.
Hello, everyone.
So tell us what your good news is. If you don't have one, that's your assignment right now. I want you to think about it. Look, we should all do this. Have something that makes us smile, that we're leaning into each and every day. And if you don't, that's your job every day, is to contemplate something, realize something that's good in your world. And if it doesn't come naturally, then exercise that muscle. And if you've got lots to choose from, hooray from you, we want to hear it. 312-981-7200, you'll read the text?
I sure will.
What's your bright side? Do you have one?
Are you ready for it? Or you want to wait? I want to hear the music first.
Okay, the music's next on GN. Are we ready to go there, Ms. Garris? We can do the bright side now. I don't have to read anything. I can play this snappy little song in 5, 4, 3, 2. We do this on Fridays.
Some things in life are bad.
Here we go.
They can really make you mad.
Call me now.
Other things just make you swear and curse.
Tell us something good in your world.
When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble, give a whistle.
The number is 312.
And this'll help things turn out for the best.
981.
And always look
7200. Get ready to whistle. All right, there's your music, Marshall Lyle from WGN Sales Department. What's your bright side?
My bright side is, do you recall I went to your office a few days ago to talk to you about Muhammad Ali's birthday?
Yes, you did.
And
you know his son.
I do. Now, you weren't interested in the interview, but interview was not for you.
Oh, who was it for?
It was for my brand new podcast that will be dropping today called Shypedia.
Shypedia, C-H-I-P-E-D-I-A?
Yes.
You do that podcast?
Myself and Doma T. Pongo.
And did you guys interview this guy?
We will be, hopefully.
How about that? I'll have to add that to my list. So you and Doma T. do a podcast. The first one episode drops?
Today.
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 So yes. Just search wherever you listen for your finer podcast, Shypedia.
Shypedia on WGN Plus.
Steve Bertram, why are you smiling in the WGN Radio newsroom?
Going to our friends the Harlins tonight for a happy hour. We're going to sit around and watch the government stay open.
My bright side, my son and I, and I think my wife Brenda and maybe Grant's buddy Mike are going to go see Butler at DePaul at the beautiful Wintrust Arena. Go watch DePaul and support them there, although I'm going to be rooting for Butler.
If life seems jolly rotten, this...
How about you, V? You got a bright side you want to share?
Yeah, I'm part of a wine club, and I've let all my wine bottles collect for the last couple months, so me and my sister are headed to the location to get all of our wine this weekend.
I like wine shopping. I think that's fun. I can't say I'm good at it, because I absolutely do it the wrong way.
Well, that's why the wine club's nice, because they do it for you. They tell you which bottle you're going to like.
Oh, I see. I just look at the labels and go, that looks sophisticated. I'll try that. And I don't know what I'm talking about. All right, let's start with our phone calls. Actually, while I look at the phones, why don't you start us with one of the texters, Marcia?
Sure. The first one is coming from area code 847. My bright side is that I have front row seats for Steve Cochran's comedy show at the Metropolis Theater in Arlington Heights tomorrow night.
I want to know if that's Sandberg that sent that in or not. Jeff, you're on WGN. What's your bright side, Jeff? You're on the air.
Hi, Ringo here in Peoria, Illinois. My wife called an hour ago and said we've got a leaky pipe in our basement, and a plumber is available to come and is on the way right now.
That's the glasses half full, isn't it?
I'm a happy camper. I was thinking I wouldn't get a plumber on Friday afternoon.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate the call. We're talking to Kathy now. Hey, Kathy. This is John. You're on WGN. What's your bright side?
Hey, John. I got my review this week, and I got a $1,000 bonus. Yippee!
Let's go to Jeff. You're on WGN. Give me some good news. Jim, on line 12, you're on GN. What's your bright side?
It's a beautiful sunny day, John. It's above freezing. Thank goodness. You must always
spice the cut. I'm so with you. That's all it takes. It doesn't have to be complicated. Let's talk to Mark on line 4. You're on WGN. Hey, Mark, what's your bright side? Hi.
We're checking in again. We're headed back to the Upper Peninsula, and we don't need the heavy winter gear. And I got my good-looking wife and a good-looking dog with me. On the
right side. What are the texters saying?
812 area code. That's the Terre Haute, Indiana area. I thought this was interesting. I saw a bald eagle on Wednesday on my way to work.
If life seems jolly wrong. Read another one.
Area code 815. My bright side is that my son is home after serving 5 years in the United States Marine Corps.
Wow.
And he is starting nursing school on Monday.
Hey, Marianne, this is John. You're on WGN Radio. Give us a bright side.
Hi, John. Yesterday, I received a heart transplant, so I'm very happy.
Say that again. 1 year ago, what happened?
I received a new heart.
Oh, my gosh. Listen to you. You sound great, Marianne.
I am so happy.
Yep. You live in an amazing time. Well, thanks for listening and sharing that.
Thank you very much, John.
Let's go to Matt on line 3. You're on WGN. Matt, why are you smiling?
King John, I got a lot of stuff from eBay and Amazon in the mail today, and I am going to my very first Women's March tomorrow.
Yeah, that's going to be...
I this year and said, I'm not coming in. I'm going to go march for the lake.
What time does that kick off?
So people are meeting at 9 a.m. at Grant Park, but yeah. I think it's kicking off at 11.
11, because I'm trying to get to that game at DePaul from here.
And you try to avoid the women?
Well, I'm not trying to avoid the women. I'm trying to get to DePaul, and I want to do it at noon tomorrow. That's going to be
the
tough
march
downtown.
The march starts at 12:30.
12:30?
The rally starts at 11.
Leaving at 7 a.m.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. There were 250,000 people downtown Chicago last year. They stopped marching because there was no more room to march. I don't know what we're going to get, but hey, have a great day tomorrow, Matt.
Have a great day, Jeff.
Read another one, Marcia.
This one will be coming from area code 847. I will be in sunny South Florida by the next bright side. Even better, surprising the kids with a couple of days in Disney.
Hey, Bill, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Bill?
I'm smiling, John, because I had someone I really respect tell me that I was the coolest person they know.
Always look on the light. I'm going to double that, Bill. Thanks for the phone call. And go from you to, let's try Kim on line 4. Hey, Kim, this is John. You're on WGN. Hi. Hey, Kim.
Retired today at 2 o'clock. I'm smiling.
You are 54 minutes into retirement. How does it feel?
It feels great. Let's give you a call.
Thanks for sharing that. Always look on the bright side. Hey, Carol, this is John. You're on WGN. Hi.
Hi, John. My best
thing is, I'm headed home from work, going to have date night with the same man of 45 years.
I don't think we got one from our producer, Elif Garris. Hey, Elif, what's your bright side? You're on WGN Radio. Hello.
I finally made an eye appointment that is well, well overdue, and I am going to probably get some stylish frames for myself because I definitely need glasses.
Elif, I'm over here. Over here.
That was a joke! That was a joke!
Face palm.
Judy's getting ready to do WGN Radio News. I don't know if she has time to do a bright side. Sometimes she likes to chime in. Read another one for us, Marcia. You can text to 312-981-7200.
Area code 847 again. My son was not hurt in a carjacking at work. So that's a wonderful thing.
You know, that's the thing.
Not wonderful, but it's great that he's
the okay. Glass is half full, isn't it? Man, why? Hey, Michelle, this is John. Why are you smiling today? You're on WGN.
Hi, John. I just wanted to let you know that our furnace is completely dead, but it is the warmest day in January.
I guess if your furnace is going to go out, today is the right day to have that happen, right?
It is the perfect day. I'm ecstatic.
That is the essence of the bright side. Sponsored today by Joint Relief Institute. We've had more glasses half full rather than half empties. People who have had congenital heart failure or whose plumbing has stopped working or whose furnace stopped working, and they are happy. That's what the bright side is. We'll do it again next Friday. Hey, Marcia, thanks for coming down.
Thank you, John.
I have a feeling Brian would have scored well on that presidential stability test.
I wondered if Donald Trump was here. I'm a very stable genius,
now,
John.
Now, if we ask you 5 minutes from now, will you remember stable genius?
Well, 888-0000 could not be an easier phone
number.
Do
me the favor, though. Just sometime in the next half hour, let's give one of our sponsor some love. Go, Brian, what is the number for the Joint Relief Institute?
Right.
And he has to think Orland Park, that middle part that's on me.
Right.
Uh-huh. You got to do the eights
three
on your
eights,
own.
That's, all, that's half and a full house. That's an easy thing. Way to think of it.
Coming up, we're going to be talking about government shutdown. We've got hours to go for them to figure it out. And the White House budget director has put it at 50-50, up from 30% in terms of the chances they're going to get something done. We'll
take
talk
that.
About the latest with Schumer coming out of that meeting. Some progress. We'll see what happens. Michael Steele, the former head of the RNC, will be with us. We've also going to check in with ABC News for the very latest on Capitol Hill for that. And, the carnival wagon rolls today because it's a Friday.
And a beatbox saxophonist at 6 o'clock.
No
That's
kidding.
That's right. Yeah, no kidding.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Neither did I till yesterday. It's fascinating.
All right. Have a good show.